Mark tells us in his gospel in chapter 15, verses 22 through 32, that early Friday morning, the Roman soldiers led Jesus to Golgotha, the place known as the place of the skull. It was the execution site. There, the Roman soldiers, around 9 a.m. in the morning, they crucified Jesus, nailing his hands and his feet to the cross and suspending him between heaven and earth. Jesus was dying the death of the cross, the most humiliating, the most painful, the most agonizing death one could die in times of antiquity. Mark tells us in verses 29 and 30 that those passing by were hurling abuse at him, wagging their heads and saying, "Ha, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself and come down from the cross." These onlookers abused Jesus with disrespectful, blasphemous speech, yelling at him, shaking their heads to come down from the cross. Mark tells us in the same way the chief priests in verse 31, also along with the scribes, they were mocking him among themselves. And they were saying, "He saved others, he cannot save himself. Let this Christ, the King of Israel, now come down from the cross so that we may see and believe." All of Jesus's enemies who abused him with their words, who mocked them, who mocked him, who were shouting for him to save himself if he was truly the Christ, they did not truly understand what kept Jesus on the cross. It was not men that kept Jesus on the cross. It was not Pilate's judgment that kept Jesus on the cross. It was not the spikes they nailed through his wrists and his feet that kept Jesus on the cross. It was not the guards who stood watch who kept Jesus on the cross. It was not his weakened, bloody, beaten body that kept Jesus on the cross. What kept Jesus on the cross? His obedience to the Father kept Jesus on the cross. Matthew tells us in his gospel, chapter 26, verses 39 and 42, shortly before Jesus was betrayed, he entered into a time of prayer in the Garden of Gethsemane, and this is what Jesus prayed: "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will. My Father, if this cannot pass away unless I drink it, your will be done." See, Jesus' death on the cross was God's plan to pay for the world's sins. Jesus came into the world not to do his will, but to do the Father's will. Jesus set his face toward Jerusalem. Jesus allowed himself to be betrayed by Judas, to be falsely condemned by the Sanhedrin, to be mocked, to be beaten, to be whipped, to be judged by Pilate, to be sentenced to death. He willingly laid down to be crucified, and he kept himself on the cross because he did not come to do his own will, but the will of the Father. Obedience to God kept Jesus on the cross. Jesus died the death of the cross, and he did not save himself that he might fulfill God's plan to save us. You see, the Bible teaches us that all of us have sinned and we've come short of the glory of God, and that the wages of sin is death. Hebrews chapter 9, verse 27 teaches that it's appointed unto man to die once, And after this comes the judgment. Our God is holy and righteous. And one day we will all stand before God to give an account for how we have lived our lives. And because we are sinners who have disobeyed him, the wrath of God rightly abides upon us. And the ultimate death we deserve on that day of judgment is eternal separation from our God. Not entrance into heaven, but punishment in an eternal, literal hell, a place of judgment. That's what every sinner justly deserves. But God, who is rich in mercy and love, the Bible tells us, he so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. God in his love put a rescue plan in place for sinful humanity. And that rescue plan revolved, centered on Jesus Christ, his son. 2,000 years ago, that rescue plan was set into motion and fulfilled. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who's also God himself, equal in all ways to the Father, stepped down from heaven and he took on flesh. The Bible tells us he lived a perfect, sinless life. He was rejected by the world and nailed to a cross by willful, sinful men. Men who did something in ignorance, but yet voluntarily chose to do so. But in doing so, the Bible tells us, wicked men fulfilled the predetermined plan of God. And that was the plan for God to provide a righteous substitute who would pay our sin's penalty in our place. See, when Jesus died on the cross, he died for no wrong of his own. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20, that he who knew no sin, Jesus Christ, made him to become sin, that we in turn might become the righteousness of God. Jesus suffered on the cross as a substitute, the righteous one for the unrighteous ones, the guiltless one for the guilty ones. See, the wages, the consequence, the penalty of sin is death. That's why Jesus died on the cross. As he's on the cross, God the Father in heaven is judging Jesus in our place. The reason that sinful men do not have to go to hell is because Jesus took our hell upon him on the cross. True God, fully man, suffering in our place to be the one who would be the mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. And the Bible tells us after Jesus suffered in our place and took our punishment upon himself, he was put to the tomb. But praise God, early Sunday morning, Jesus Christ did not stay in the tomb. The Bible tells us God raised his son to life. The resurrection of Jesus assures us, as we are celebrating this foundational doctrine on Easter Sunday, that Jesus Christ has in fact accomplished the plan of God. Through his death and his resurrection, he has defeated our enemies of sin and death. He has paid the price once and for all so that sin can be forgiven, men can be restored to God in a right relationship, and we can receive the gift of abundant eternal life. Oh, thank God that Jesus stayed on the cross. Because he stayed on the cross, you and I can be forgiven of our sins. Oh, thank God that Jesus stayed on the cross. Because he stayed on the cross, death has been defeated because he lives. All who trust in him will live. Oh, thank God that Jesus stayed on the cross. Because he stayed on the cross, there is a rescue from the day of coming judgment. Those who trust in Christ will not be judged because he was judged in our place. What Jesus did in staying on the cross accomplished God's plan of salvation for the world. Obedience to the Father kept Jesus on the cross, but the Bible tells us something else kept Jesus on the cross. John tells us in 1 John chapter 3, verse 16, we know love by this, that he, Jesus, he laid down his life for us. What kept Jesus on the cross? Obedience to his Father. What kept Jesus on the cross? Love for you, for me, and for the world. When Jesus hung on the cross, you and I, the whole world was on his mind. Oh, for the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame, and he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For the joy of what he was doing in accomplishing the Father's will and accomplishing our salvation, Jesus stayed on the cross. What Jesus did through his sinless life, his substitutionary death, and his victorious resurrection, it provides salvation for all men. But what Jesus did on the cross only counts when you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. See, the Bible tells us what God has done for us. He does not just apply it to our lives. He calls us to respond to his gift of salvation and eternal life. And that response is repentance from sin and faith in Jesus Christ. Jesus puts it this way in Mark chapter 1, verse 15, repent and believe the gospel. What God is calling every man to do in light of what he's done in and through Jesus Christ is to agree with him about one's sins, to feel remorse over one's sin to the point that we're willing to turn away from that sin and forsake it and hate it and repudiate our sin. And in turning away from our sin, we are willing by faith to embrace Jesus Christ, to believe what God has said about his Son, who he is and what he did in accomplishing our salvation, to the point that we don't just intellectually assent to it, but volitionally from the heart, we are willing to rely upon Jesus and Jesus alone for salvation. We commit our lives to him as our Lord and as our Savior who rescues us from sin, and he rules us in our lives from that day forward. That's repentance from sin and faith in Jesus Christ that results in what Jesus did for us, counting so that our sins are forgiven, so that we are made into a right relationship with God, and God gives us this gift of abundant and eternal life. Oh, thank God for what happened on Friday. It was a good Friday, though it was the worst Friday. It was the worst Friday because of what happened to our God on the cross. But it was a good Friday because of what God the Father intended through the cross. Without the shedding of blood, there would have been no forgiveness for our sins. Praise Jesus Christ that he was obedient to the Father and he loved us to the point that he died the death of the cross. I want to ask everyone at this time to just bow your heads just momentarily. There may be someone here tonight who's heard the gospel before but never made a decision to turn from sin, to repent, and to believe in Christ for salvation. There may be someone here who's never heard the gospel before, and this is the first time. And God's working in your heart, convicting you of sin, and the Spirit of God is telling you that that message is the true message from God to man. There's a conviction in your heart of sin, and there's a willingness in your heart to surrender your life to Jesus Christ, that you might be forgiven and enter into a lifelong joyous relationship with Jesus and be rescued from an eternity in hell and receive this promised assurance of heaven when you do die. If that's where you're at in your heart, God is working in your life right now. I'm just gonna lead you in a prayer just to guide you to express your heart's desire to God to receive Jesus Christ into your life. There's nothing magical about what I'm gonna say. The Bible tells us if we'll confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in our hearts that God raised him from the dead, we shall be saved. Romans 10, 9 and 10. God's looking at the heart. He's just looking for a sincere faith that will trust in Jesus, a sincere repentance that will turn away from sin and trust him to change one's life moving forward. Father, I pray if anyone is at that place where you're knocking on their heart's door and you're drawing them to Jesus this evening, right now, that all distractions will flee. I pray that you'll bind the enemy, God, from stealing the word that's been sown. And we ask right now that you'll give them the courage to pray a prayer from their heart, something like this. Dear God, I agree with Scripture that I'm a sinner. I know that I have disobeyed you in more ways than I even know. And I know that because of my sin, I justly deserve judgment. In the best way that I know how, God, I want to turn from my sin. I want to turn away from my sin. God, I'm sorry for my sin. I want to have a clean break from my sin. God, in turning from my sin, I want to trust in Jesus as my Lord and Savior. I believe he's your son. I believe he lived a sinless life. I believe his death paid the penalty for my sins. I believe you raised him from the dead and exalted him to heaven, proving that he is truly your son and our promised Savior sent to rescue us from sin and death. So right now, in the best way I know how, I'm placing all my trust in Jesus for salvation. I'm relying upon Jesus to break sin's power in my life, to change my life, and to give me the gift of abundant and eternal life. God, I'm asking you to save me. Come into my life through Jesus and make me a new person. And from this day moving forward, help me to live for Jesus with all my heart. I pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it in your heart, we want to celebrate with you. And we want to encourage you in your next steps in following Jesus Christ and pursuing a relationship with God through him. In the bulletin that you received coming in the door or as you exit, if you did not receive one, there's a QR code. You can scan that QR code. It'll take you to a form. You can fill out your name and a phone number, an email address that'll give us a way to contact you so that we can follow up. There's also a Lakeland text number where you can text information to that number, your name and a decision you made, and that will allow us to follow up with you. Will you please do that? Because we want to help you take those next steps in pursuing a wonderful, vital relationship through Jesus Christ. Thank you guys for being here this evening. We're gonna sing another song as we make our way out. I wanna invite you all back for Easter Sunday. Our services will be at 10:30 in the morning on Sunday, and we'll have small groups meeting before that at 9 o'clock. Thank you all for being here. Let's continue to worship this evening.
Please stand with us.